Well, we're joined now by Dr. Jim Mentert from Purdue University as we talk with him on a monthly basis with the Purdue CME Group. Let's start that again. My word, Ken, learn how to talk. In 3, 2, 1. And joining us now is Dr. Jim Mentert from Purdue University. He and Dr. Michael Langmeyer, who are the authors of the Purdue CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. And we always like to talk pretty quick after it comes out. So, Dr. Mentert, as always, good to talk to you and Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you and all your listeners as well, Ken.
Okay, we're going to talk about this in just a little bit, but a couple of notes. You've got a big conference coming up at the end of the week, and you're also heading back to Kansas.
Yeah, that's right. So our Purdue Top Farmer Conference is Friday, January 5th. And for those of you out in the Great Plains, you're welcome to come to West Lafayette, but you can also tap into the conference online. It's available on Zoom. And the details for the conference are available on our website, which is purdue.edu/commercialag. And it's a great conference, a lot of great speakers, some people from the Great Plains. Brad Lubin from the University of Nebraska is coming over. Chad Hart from Iowa State's coming over. Scott Irwin from the University of Illinois is going to be there talking about biofuels. And we've got Jim Bullard, who's a new dean here at Purdue, who was formerly the president of the St. Louis Federal Reserve, talking about the economic outlook and the interest rate outlook. So it's going to be a great conference. And again, purdue.edu/commercialag to get more details. And then you're right, I'm coming over to Kansas for the Commodity Classic towards the end of the month in Salina. I'm looking forward to that. Haven't had a chance to visit some of my friends from Kansas for a long time. So I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be the 26th of January there in Salina. So, okay, we got the formalities out of the way. Let's get to the latest. This would be the December survey that you took, and a little weaker than a year ago. Did that surprise you? The
Not
overall
really.
tone?
The barometer index was down 1 point compared to a month earlier, and that was really effectively no change. Same way with the current condition and future expectation index. When you go from November to December, really no change. All those indexes were a little bit weaker than a year ago, and I think that actually makes sense when you think about farm income levels in 2023 versus 2022. I think that probably explains the bulk of the weakness in the sentiment on a year-to-year basis, but I think maybe one of the more interesting things, Ken, is the fact that the Farm Financial Performance Index really improved relative to its low point and also during the course of the fall. So if you go back to May, that index was at a reading of 76. It climbed a little bit over the summer, got up to 86 at the end of the summer. But over the course of the fall, it went from 86 up to 97 as producers clearly felt better about their farm's financial situation in late fall versus the way they felt last summer and especially last spring. And I think a good chunk of that is related to the fact that, especially for corn and soybean farmers, yields were stronger than expected, and that translated into a better financial picture for a lot of folks at the end of the year when they started looking back on it.
Well, I think that's one of the things to look at is that that Farm Financial Performance Index it did improve just a bit, and maybe that is when you really kind of look at the scale tickets or maybe do that balance. And sometimes when we're in the moment, it's not quite as rosy, because if we go back and kind of look the way the year was, it was very much up, down, sideways, and everything else. But ending on a pretty good jump, well, down I guess a little bit for the but again, you look at kind of where the last quarter was, and even looking to the future, there's Dr. Mann, there's a lot of uncertainty as we start 2024, and so I guess is this about the number you kind of expected?
Yeah, so I think on a year-to-year basis, we did expect to see the barometer weaker and both the index of current conditions and future expectations weaker. I thought it was encouraging that that Farm Financial Performance Index rose during the course of the fall. And I think what that reflects is as people enter 2024, as you point out, there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of concern about what 2024 is going to look like. But it suggests we're entering on a relatively strong footing. Farm balance sheets are in good shape. Walking in with a pretty good working capital situation on most farms. So I think we're entering 2024 on a positive note. But again, people still have concerns, and we continue to ask that question that says, what are your biggest concerns for your farming operation in the upcoming year? And people, overwhelmingly still say high input cost is their number one choice. But even there, we're seeing a shift. If you compare the responses to that question at the beginning of the year and the end of the year, you can see that fewer people are choosing high input costs as their top concern. At the beginning of the year, 42% of the people in the survey said it was high input costs. At the end of the year, it was about 31%. And we're seeing a return to concerns that are a little more traditional, in the sense that people are worried about lower crop and livestock prices. At the beginning of the year, only 16% of the people in the survey said that was their top concern. At the end of the year, 26% said that was one of their top concerns. So we haven't quite flipped the page yet and got things back to what I'd characterize as normal, where more people would worry about lower crop and livestock prices and fewer people worry about high input cost. We're not quite there yet, but we're starting to get back to something that's a little more normal. And I think, that's a maybe a situation that might make people a little more comfortable. But and the flip side of that is I think people are worried about a cost price squeeze because we've got elevated production cost and we are in an environment where we're seeing some weaker commodity prices. And I think that does have people concerned.
Right, you're right. And again, talking to those, looking at buying inputs, looking at, even those that sell inputs, knowing kind of where they are, and but it seems like we're still in that mode where farmers are going to go ahead and follow their rotation. I know there's a lot of folks out there talking that we're going to see an expansion in soybean acres, and it may, where you're at, maybe in that eastern corn belt, eastern soy belt, we may see that. It seems like here, corn is still going to capture a majority of those acres for a variety of reasons. And quite honestly, some of this fall and winter moisture we've had is bringing a bit of optimism, at least out here.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think, when you think about acreage shifts, it's a little early with respect to
Right.
trying to forecast what's going to happen and show up on that planting intentions report that comes out at the end of March. But I think you're right with respect to where the shift's going to occur. The shift in acreage probably is going to be oriented towards the eastern half of the Corn Belt. For example, Indiana and Ohio, I think, are both states where we're going to see more soybean acres than we saw last year. If you look at it from a long-term perspective, soybeans historically are a more competitive crop with corn in the eastern Corn Belt than in the western Corn Belt. So the big shift in acreage is probably going to be, to some extent, we'll see some of that, I think, in Illinois, but I think Indiana, Ohio, and the rest of the eastern Corn Belt will be the states where we see the biggest shift in acreage going forward. Because you're right, when we look at the budgets, current projections suggest we should see a bump in acreage from the soybean side.
One of the other things that we kind of focus in on is the Farm Capital Investment Index. And boy, as we talk about that, is now a good time? Is it not a good time? Are we here? Did we have a lot of farmers that had to make some investments late in the year for tax purposes or for whatever? I didn't hear a lot of that. I'm sure there was probably some in some areas. Again, like we talked about last month, just kind of doing some windshield farming as you drive by some of these implement dealers. Inventory does seem to be up, and farmers are saying, "Well, can I get by another year with this piece of equipment, and maybe wait and see what 24 might have in store?"
Yeah, so the Farm Capital Investment Index really didn't do much. I think it was up a
Yeah.
point compared to last month. It is up 8 points compared to October, and I think that fits right in with that Farm Financial Performance Index. People did feel a little bit better about their financial situation, and so for some folks, that did mean that now's a little better time to make investments than what they thought previously. It is interesting, among the people who say it's a good time to make a large investment in their farming operation, we're seeing more people talk about the fact that we are seeing an increase in inventories show up. That's been a little bigger deal than it was earlier in the year. Fewer people are talking about strong cash flows. So those appear to be the two biggest drivers. But the interesting one is the fact that high dealer inventories has really picked up. First time we asked this question, I think, was in July, and only 12% of the people in the survey said it was high dealer inventories. This last 2 months, we posed the question in November and December. Roughly 3 out of 10, 30% of the people who think it's a good time to make a large investment said it's because of those dealer inventories have finally improved. And that shows up if you look at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers data, especially on combines. It does show up. The inventories are quite a bit higher than they were last year, and especially compared to 2 years ago. And you can see that when you travel around the Corn Belt, and certainly I'm sure in the Great Plains as well, you can see those inventories are quite a bit larger than they were previously. I guess the good news for farmers is that suggests that maybe there's some opportunity to do some negotiating and maybe do a little more bargaining than they were able to do the last couple of years. But the flip side is, people are a little bit concerned about where we're headed in 2024. So it's not an overwhelming situation with respect to people wanting to make big investments.
Sure. Well, and I think, we'll kind of know a little more as the year progresses and what there's two or three little factors out there that could really could impact where we are with commodity prices and so on. So also for several months, you've been asking the question, looking ahead now to this year, what's the biggest concern for the farming operation? And I guess you kind of do that every month again, not a big change really anywhere. It's all still kind of maintained, other than, as we said earlier, the lower prices for the commodities and livestock seem to gain a little bit more momentum this month.
Yeah, the big switch really has been fewer people pointing to high input cost and more people pointing to lower crop and livestock prices as their big concern. And it doesn't show up so much on a month-to-month basis, but it becomes apparent when you start looking at it from a longer-term perspective and compare like the beginning of 2023 to the end of the year. And of course, that December survey is a kind of a nice jumping-off point to make that kind of end-of-year, beginning-of-year comparison. The other factors. It is interesting how few people tell us they're worried about farm policy. You know, 2023 was a farm bill year, turned into, got pushed back to 2024 now. But month after month, very few people tell us they're worried about farm policy. I think this month it was only 4% of the people in the survey said that was a big concern. There's more people worried about environmental policy than they are farm policy. In fact, roughly twice as many people said environmental policy is a bigger concern than farm policy. And then, rising interest rates is a concern. It was a concern at the beginning of the year. It's still a concern going forward, although it is interesting. We asked specifically an interest rate question on this month's survey. And, about a third of the people in the survey said they expect interest rates to decline in 2024. But the flip side of that is about 40%, a little over 40%, about roughly 43% of the people in the survey think interest rates could actually go up in the upcoming year. So I guess what that really tells you is farmers don't know what's going to happen to interest rates, and overall are probably getting kind of concerned about it. In fact, I think looking at our data, roughly 25 or 23% of them are saying that they're worried about interest rates going forward. So that continues to be a risk and a concern for people. It's going to be interesting. Again, at that Top Farmer Conference on Friday, we're going to talk about that with somebody who used to sit on the Federal Open Market Committee. So that'll be interesting to get that kind of perspective with respect to where interest rates are going. The Fed, in their December announcement, suggested we could see the potential for lower rates in 2024. So just a lot of uncertainty there with respect to rates.
Absolutely. It seems like we spend an awful lot of time, though, talking about foreign policy, and maybe those of us that talk about it need to do a little more listening. And we talk about all these different things, I know, but maybe environmental policy and foreign policy may be intertwined, because there is a lot of that with the IRA and some of the other things coming in. But and maybe producers this whole year have just kind of been shrugging their shoulders and saying, well, a farm bill will get done when a farm bill gets done. I mean, we've had delays in the past, so, but it'll be interesting to see that that watches, because it seems like we don't have much change, and it's like, oh, well, we've got other things that maybe we have more control than what goes on in DC, and many folks just kind of don't want to deal with that at all, which I don't necessarily blame them. So, okay, Let's also farmland. Farmland's another one we always like to talk about what they are saying, and through all these uncertainty, Dr. Mender, it's farmland pretty much their expectations dipped a little bit here spring, early summer, but it's stayed steady for, oh boy, about the last half of the year, looks like.
Yeah, if you look at the short-term index, which asks people what they think is going to happen in the next 12 months, that has been relatively flat. It was down a little bit this month. I think it was down 4 points from November, and I think down 3 points compared to a year ago. But if you look at the last 6 months, that index has been relatively flat. It is interesting to look not just at the index, but rather the raw responses to the question that the index is based on. So the question says, what do you think is going to happen to farmland values in your area in the next 12 months? And the percentage of people who say they expect to see higher farmland prices is still larger than those who say it's going to go down. And so as a result, the index is positive. But the percentage of people saying higher farmland prices are what they expect to see in the upcoming year has been declining for quite some time. You go back 2 years ago, 59% of the people in the survey said they thought farmland values were going up in their area in the upcoming 12 months. A year ago, it was 39%. This month, it was 35%. And at the same time, the percentage of people who say they think farmland values could actually weaken in the upcoming 12 months has been increasing. 2 years ago, only 6% of the people in the survey thought farmland values could go down in the upcoming 12 months. Last year, at this time, I think it was 15%. This year, it was 14%. So when you look at the data, the raw data, you can kind of see, although the farmland index is still positive, it's definitely less, people are definitely less confident that farmland value is going to keep going up than they were, say, 2 years ago, and to some extent, even last year. So I think we're seeing that sentiment erode, even though the index is staying relatively flat.
And the extra question that you ask in this month's survey of the Purdue CME Ag Economy Barometer, what do you expect the inflation rate for consumer items to be over the next 12 months? I guess that is showing optimism. Almost half, just 2 to 4% all.
Yeah, and if you look at it from the standpoint of 0 to 2 and 2 to 4% were two of the buckets on the survey question, 70% of the people think inflation in the upcoming year will be less than 4%, and only 13% think it's going to be above 6%. The interesting thing about that is we asked the same question a year ago. Roughly half of the people in the survey said they expected inflation in the upcoming year to be 6% or higher. So the Fed's got a point. I mean, there are people who do think that we're maybe winning the battle with respect to inflation, although I would argue that 2 to 4% inflation is still pretty high. If you have 4% inflation, you'll see prices double in about, what, 18 years. That kind of surprises people when you think about it from that standpoint. So there's a good reason to try and squeeze inflation down to that under 2% range. So it remains to be seen what the Fed's going to do and whether or not we've actually put the squeeze on inflation or not. But people definitely feel better about it now than they did a year ago.
Well, Dr. Mendon, as always, appreciate the insights on the December survey. And folks can find out more ag.purdue.edu and just search for the report, and they can find that. So I guess overall, you look at these numbers, you would almost dare use the word stable as we maybe use the base to begin 2024. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's kind of what looks like to me.
And that's not a bad way to put it, Ken. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out. We've seen some commodity weakness here after the first of the year. It's going to be interesting to see what we pick up in the January survey. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with respect to shifting crop acreage and what impact that has. And obviously, as we head through the winter, people are paying very close attention to what's going on in South America and the impact that could have on U.S. agriculture. So there's still a lot of uncertainty out there. Farmers would like to see input values get back to levels that we saw before the pandemic, and we are not even close to that. So I think that's going to continue to weigh on producer sentiment for quite some time, I suspect.
All right. Well, as always, Dr. Minard, thanks so much. We look forward to talking with you again next month.
Great. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate the opportunity. Looking forward to seeing everybody at the Commodity Classic.
Absolutely. Dr. Jim Mintert, he along with Dr. Michael Langmeyer, Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, do the Ag Economy Barometer with Purdue and the CME Group.